Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Hi, welcome back to Pilgrim Talk. Dave, you left us in suspense last time. We were talking about the bride.
Oh, yes.
You know?
That's right.
And,
yeah.
And then there was something in Leviticus I think you were going to share with us.
Yeah. Because I think...
dodgy business going into Leviticus now, you know. It's kind of a... you want to really be holding the hand of the Holy Spirit going into this book.
Yeah, because there's chunks of it that are kind of quite opaque to the human mind. But I don't want to go to any of those bits.
Well, the Lord will show us that in due course, whatever the lot of it.
Yeah, but what I was looking at ties in with where we finished up the last time about... you know, the bride has made herself ready, for it was granted to her. And, you know, that encapsulates the idea that in the preparation of the bride, that, you know, this is something that God is taking a hand in.
Mm-hmm.
And we know in Ephesians where it talks about, you know, that he would present to himself a bride without spot or blemish.
Right.
Now, how on earth are you and I going to get to be without spot or blemish?
Oh, that's some miracle.
See?
Yeah.
Well, you've said it.
Yeah.
You see? That, you know...
it's God's doing.
If God doesn't initiate that in the body of Christ, well, I, for one, wouldn't have any hope.
Here's an interesting thing, Dave. I often say to people on the street when I'm sharing the gospel with them. And they often say things to me like this. They say, well, how can we hear God? You know, and they have a difficulty with this thing.
Mm.
Often the answer I give is, I say, well, look, if God is God, surely he has the ability to make himself heard.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. So suddenly it's twisted it the other way around. Instead of them thinking about their inadequacy to hear God,
yes,
it's more putting it on God and his ability to make himself known.
Right.
And that's like the message of grace. It's God does the work,
yeah,
not us working it up.
Yeah.
And that's so important.
Yeah.
It really changes your whole focus on a whole load of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like that surfer catching the wave and riding the wave instead of just flapping around trying to make his own wave.
Well, you know, wanting to say this without being disrespectful. So, you know, I hope God hears my heart on this.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we talk about hearing God, the implication of that is that God is making noise. You know,
that, yeah, go on.
You know, if we talk about hearing God, then obviously what we're implying is that God is saying something, that
yeah,
God is speaking.
Yeah.
You see? And, you know, people have struggled with, I can't hear God. Because there's a question in their minds about, well, is God actually saying anything?
Mm.
And God is.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's only a sideline.
Yeah. You're making the point there, Dave. Sorry that some people conclude, well, God's not saying anything.
Yeah.
That God is passive.
Yeah.
That God
that's
is
right.
just asleep.
And that God
or uncaring.
But God
or
is,
not involved.
Yeah. All of which things are untrue.
Yeah.
God is the most unpassive being in all creation.
Yeah.
God sustains everything all the time.
Most active is the word you're looking for. Unpassive.
Yes.
Yes, active.
Active.
A double negative.
That's the word.
Double negative makes a positive.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Leviticus, Dave.
Yes.
Dip our toe in the water
so
here.
So we're kind of getting around to the idea that, you know, if the bride is going to be ready for the bridegroom, then, you know, God is going to take the initiative. And Ephesians tells us that the bride will be without spot or blemish. So
mm-hmm.
How on earth is that going
that
to happen?
Yeah.
So we have a hint here from George Warnock and the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
One of the days of the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the 10th day of the 7th month,
right,
was the Day of Atonement.
Mm-hmm.
And it has always been the practice of Judaism that this passage in Leviticus 16 refers to the Day of Atonement.
Right.
Where there's this very strange ritual that is performed, where the high priest brings two kid goats to the temple.
Right, yeah.
And he casts lots over them.
That's right, one of them gets off.
One of them is destined to be sacrificed.
Mm.
And the other one, it says, is sent off by the hand of a suitable man into an uninhabited place and left to wander.
Hmm.
Right?
That's the scapegoat.
That's the scapegoat.
That's where we get the word from.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the Hebrew word that refers to scapegoat actually means goat gone away.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so cool.
So it's the gone away goat.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you see. The high priest puts his hands on the goat's head and confesses over the goat all the sins of Israel.
Well, that's a long session.
That's a long session.
Yeah.
Read about it in Leviticus 16.
Right.
About verse 29 or something. He lay all the sins of Israel, and it is taken by the hand of a suitable man out into the wilderness. There's so much typology here for us as Christians today.
Who's the suitable man, Dave?
Right. Well, first of all,
okay.
Let's say all the sins of Israel. You see, Jesus atoned for the sin of the world on the cross.
That's right.
Shed his blood.
It was the Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God.
Yeah.
That was the first goat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And total victory and total deliverance from sin was secured right there.
Right.
Yeah?
With you.
But the church has never walked in that.
Mm-hmm.
We've never, as George Warnock says, you know, let's stop making excuses. Let God be God and let every man be a liar. You know, the church has never walked in this.
Yeah.
The end, before the bridegroom comes, the church is going to walk in this. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a move of this revival that we're looking for.
Mm.
And all because the high priest, Jesus, lays his hands on the sin on the head of this goat and confesses over this goat all the sin of Israel, all the sin of the church.
Mm.
And then it's sent off into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. Okay, who the heck is a suitable man?
Who's the suitable man? Come on, Dave, we're in terrible suspense here.
You know, here's the problem. You know, I get my goat and I take it off into the wilderness.
Yeah.
You know, and I lose it out there in the wilderness. And I come back and I say, oh, all my sin has washed away. I've been redeemed. Praise God. And I walk in victory, you know, for a couple of days. And then I get up in the morning and I open the door and there's the goat.
He's come back.
He's found his way home.
Right.
As goats do.
Yes.
You know, so I've done my best to go take him off into the wilderness and lose him out there. But he always finds his way back. Right? So it needs a suitable man.
Suitable man.
Now, so here's a suitable man. How about a guy who's 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness?
Mm.
How about a man who has faced Satan, the devil, in the wilderness and has overcome the flesh, the devil, wow, and the world?
Wow. His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus. And he is the one who knows how to take that goat out into the wilderness.
He knows how to take that sin
to a place away where it'll never come back. So,
isn't there a scripture, Dave, says as far as the east is from the west?
Yeah. So far he has removed your sin from you. Have we ever walked in that?
No.
Experientially. You see, you know, we say we have that by faith in the righteousness of Jesus through his shed blood. And that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. We have that.
Yeah, we grab faith, the theory, but not live in the reality.
But have we ever had that experientially?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think nobody ever has, you see. But before Jesus comes back, the church is going to walk in that.
Tell me more about this scapegoat, Dave. He's brought into the wilderness by a suitable man, right?
Yeah.
And the proper job is to bring him so far into the wilderness that he just doesn't come wandering back for breakfast.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, when I saw this, George Warnock's thing about this, you know, I was saying to the Lord, so who is a suitable man? Who is a suitable man?
Yeah.
And what came back to me was the man who faced down.
Isn't that wild? Because you think of in the book of Revelations when the scrolls were opened and they were crying out, they said, who is worthy to open the seal? You know.
Oh my goodness.
And they couldn't find anyone worthy.
Oh my goodness.
Except guess who?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Yeshua.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right.
He could open the scroll.
And he's worthy.
So he's worthy to bring the goat to separate the sin. He's worthy to open the scroll. He's, my goodness, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know in Ireland, Dave, just kind of, I'm finding in evangelism recently, talking to people, I ask so many people, have you heard about the Lamb of God?
Mm.
And most Irish people, virtually everyone will say yes.
Yeah.
I then say, do you know what it means? And right. They all say, no.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then it's an opportunity to explain about the sacrificial lamb that God ordained in the Old Testament.
Mm.
That you bring a lamb without blemish to the priest.
Mm.
That the priest would examine, not you, they know you're a sinner,
mm.
and examine the lamb. Is the lamb an acceptable sacrifice? Mm. And I tend to act this out a little bit on the street with them and animate it and have them hold something and point at the theoretical lamb and inspect it and then he takes the lamb and it's deemed an acceptable sacrifice to cover for sins until the true Lamb of God comes, who is Jesus.
Mm.
Do you know what? Everybody understands then about the cross when I say
Amazing.
That to them.
Amazing.
Because they understand what the death of Jesus was about.
Amazing.
And you know, it's something I want to cry from the rooftops in this country, you know, and let people... Everybody understand that.
Right.
I'd love if the door opened to go into schools and talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, and explain and at least give people an understanding
yeah.
of what it's about.
Yeah.
Then they're in a position, I believe, by the grace of God to accept him by faith.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So the Lamb of God. Sure, if you go to Mass or if you're a good Catholic, you know, at least three times, I think it's probably six or eight times in the wording of the Mass, they talk about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us.
Yes.
Lamb God takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb God takes away the sins of the world. Grant us peace.
Mm.
Well, they're just words that people learned.
Yeah.
Without the Word of God, Spirit of God revelation
yeah.
of the transference, just like the scapegoat.
Yeah.
The hands of sin placed on the scapegoat and taken away.
Yeah.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Suitable man yeah. taking him away. I really like that, Dave. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know...
Leviticus 16.
Leviticus 16. Well,
it certainly 29. Made Leviticus come alive. I have to give you a medal for that, Dave.
Well, that's really George Warnock.
George,
you know?
George, if you're out there, thank you very much.
Yeah. And so, you know, so this is something that you know, we can't initiate. We can't make this happen, is what I mean. We can't say to Jesus, okay, now's the time for you to come and do this.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
But we can pray.
Yeah.
You see? And like I was saying a couple of weeks ago, you know, why do we need to pray for revival? Is it because, you know, we've got the prophetic words down and we know that it's the time or whatever? No. Or is it because we are so darn devoted and so,
oh, you know,
such righteous people?
Oh, yeah.
You know, no, that's not it. No, the reason why we need to pray is because, you know, revival rests with God. Revival rests with God. It comes from God.
We need to ask God to open the heavens, pour out his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we've just... You know, that whole thing of intercession and asking God, you know, when you study the Word of God, you realize God did change his mind many a time in answer to prayer.
Yeah.
You know, God's not just a kind of, he hasn't, God's not inanimate. He's a person, you know, I mean, the most supreme and divine and original person. Yeah. But it's like, God wants to hear his kids.
Yeah.
Any father or mother loves to have their little kid talk to them and communicate and, you know, all relate to them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the deepest desire of their heart.
Yeah.
And what's the difference with God? He wants the same. He wants his people to talk to him.
Yeah.
Have time with him.
Yeah.
You know, chat with him.
And especially, you know, with the image of the bride being made ready in her father's house. Now, you know, if the bride says...
You're saying the preparation happens in the presence of God.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And also that, you know, there's all this stuff in the house. You know, and the bride says, Dad, you know that thing you took off the Philistines back in 1992? You know, could I have that for my wedding day?
Yeah.
You know, I think that would look really well on my head or on my hand. You know, could I have that?
Yeah.
I tell you what, you know, is there any father that would deny that?
Yeah.
And you know, when we start praying for the grace to be prepared as the bride for the bridegroom,
and
I believe that we have the inside track there, the ear of God.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what he wants.
Yeah.
He wants, you know, Jesus to be delighted with the bride.
Oh, look, Dave, this is powerful stuff. We could go on all night, but our, but I have to say, this has been a good one. You know, I encourage you maybe listen back to this one, and there's just so much depth here, particularly when you dig into Leviticus 16 and see for yourself, let God speak to you directly about this. Anyway, thank you all for listening. God bless you. You have been listening to Pilgrim Talk, and every week we have a new episode, so stay tuned, same time, same place. God bless you.
God bless you. He's Anthony Brabazon, and I'm David O'Rourke.
That's right.
Goodbye.
God bless you.